Morning, guys. It's great to be with you. It's always a joy to come back to my alma mater and my former place of work and a place where, that just means a lot to me, a place that gave me a lot, and I hope I can be used of God to give to you as well. So maybe some of you rolled your eyes. You're like, seriously, all people ever talk to us about is gossip. Every retreat, every Sunday school lesson, once you're in middle school and high school, it's gossip, gossip, gossip. Well, there's a reason for that. We love gossip, right? Is there anything better than having a juicy piece of gossip that you just cannot wait to share? Why do we love that? Well, depending on how juicy it is, everyone is going to be hanging on your every word, right? Either laughing hysterically at whoever you're talking about, or maybe you get the added benefit. Not only did they hang on your every word, but you got to put one of your rivals down. And now everyone knows the stupid stuff they did. Don't they look ridiculous? And don't I look so much better than them? I think sometimes we misunderstand gossip. We think we aren't engaging in it because we're telling people or things that are true. Someone really did do a really stupid thing and you're telling about it. What's wrong with that? I'm just telling the truth. That's not gossip. No, it is. Slander is telling lies about people. Maybe there's a separate chapel for that one. Okay. Gossip is telling the truth about people, but it is a truth that does not do anybody any good to hear. And you know they wouldn't want it told. And your point is not helping anybody out with this but yourself. That's gossip. And let's be honest. Every one of us has a massive closet full of things we would really like no one else to know that we've done. And how awful it would be if someone had access to that entire closet and just started distributing it out to everybody. Yep, they said this, they did that, they thought this. There's a whole lot of dirt we all have stored up for someone to share if they so wanted. So, why do we love to do this so much? I think we all know deep down, making someone look terrible is wrong. I think it comes back to the fact that we just love ourselves more than we love anybody else. And if I have a chance to look good and be more liked and be more popular, then it is worth crushing or hurting that person. Maybe you haven't said those words. Maybe you have. I doubt that any of you have in a to-do list for the day, share dirt on enemies to make self look good. If you do, please see Mr. Hansen. Okay. But we don't have to have it planned. We don't have to say these things audibly. It's just muscle memory for us, right? We just get in the pattern. I heard someone did something stupid. I'm sharing it because I like the popularity. That's what matters to me. I know it's also a cliche thing to share with a bunch of high schoolers that the biggest lie you've ever been told is, you can probably fill it in for me, what? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a lie, right? Your bone will heal back up stronger most likely, right? I don't want you to go dwell on what I'm going to call you to here, but I bet there are things you guys can remember as far back as perhaps kindergarten that people said that hurt you, and it hasn't gone away. And maybe even it's become part of your identity. They made fun of how bad I was about this, and I'm carrying that with me to this day. I can remember things people said to me, hurtful things back that long ago. I'm going to suggest to you, words might be the most powerful tool God has given you. I think we underestimate how bad gossip is because we don't realize how powerful our words are. We live in a world where you can, you know, delete a text real quick, delete a tweet, but the words still went out there. And if someone read them, their impact stays whether you delete it or not. God created this whole universe with words. The reason you're saved is because God pronounced a word that said, you are mine. My son covers you. And I'm not just trying to be dramatic about this. The Bible talks about how powerful our words are. Listen to what James says about how powerful our words are. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. James must have been too fun to hang out with. He does not pull any punches, does he? All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are all being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. And James is right. Think of what you could do to someone's life with a few words. You can really destroy people. And what God is saying here is, not only do I want you to not do that, I gave you the power of words to do good, not just to promote yourself at the cost of others. While James is right, you can set the forest on fire with a little spark of what your words could do. You could also build someone up immensely. I bet you also, at least I hope you all also have memories from quite a while ago where someone said something encouraging to you. And it has stuck with you all these years. And I hope that that has become part of your identity as well. We think words are cheap because often they don't cost us very much. But I wonder if you've thought about the little ways your words could make such a difference in the lives of those who need encouragement. It's not enough for us to say, all right, don't gossip. Perfect. Looks like I get an A+ in using my words. Listen to what Paul says about how we should be using our words. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I have to just confess to you, that is so not on my radar enough. How often do you even think through what you're going to say instead of just blurting it out? But if you do, how often do you think, hold on, how would what I'm about to say benefit the people who are going to hear this and build them up in Christ? It doesn't mean everything you have to say is only about Jesus, okay? But there is a way that everything you can say could be beneficial to people who hear it. And that might mean saying hard things sometimes. I have benefited from the friends who came alongside me and told me hard things about me that needed to change, but they did it lovingly. And the Lord used it. He's not just saying only be a walking affirmation poster for everyone. Sometimes the hardest ways you'll have to love people is to say things they need to hear that they don't want to hear. But the point is, how can I use this incredibly powerful tool God gave me to look around the room, whether it's at home, here, wherever, whoever's the Lord's put in your life, how can these people benefit from what I say to them? Instead of, how can I benefit by using my words that might hurt others, but build me up, increase my popularity, decrease theirs so I look better? I don't know how you guys struggle with your words, but I know we all do. And that was James' point. No one can tame this. No one's perfectly figured out the way to sinlessly speak all the time. But we can change. We can do better than we currently are. And I think that takes a ton of prayer, because there's also something else you guys probably all have filed away. I bet there's memories you've worked hard to suppress when you remember the hurtful things you've done with your words to others. Maybe you have the memory of the tears that it caused, the life that took a turn for the worse. I don't know how you've sinned against others with your words, but I know we all do. And none of us cares enough about what Paul says there about how we use our words to build others up for what's beneficial to their needs. Why is this counterintuitive to us? Why is this not the way we naturally just always act? Because we obsess over our needs. Our needs and our desires and our wants come first. And that's because we, at the end of the day, spend a lot of time worshiping ourselves. I don't think you pray to yourself in the mirror. Again, if you do, Mr. Scheid's one to talk to. But you determine worship by what is your number one priority. That's a pretty common thing I'm sure you've heard before. You determine what you worship by what's most important to you. And if you are most important to you, there's your God. You might not pray and bow down, but functionally and practically, that's what you are putting all of your effort into. And we all do that. We all struggle with that because we love ourselves more than we love the Lord. How in the world can we change these patterns that are so ingrained in us? It's just second nature for us to only say what benefits us. Well, we have to consider what's been done about our needs. If I'm supposed to be concerned about others' needs more than my own, how in the world do I change that, especially when it comes to everything I say, which is so consumes so much of my day? You have to think about what your ultimate needs really are. What do you need more than anything in this universe? Well, we're all sinners. And sinners stand before a holy God who's not permitted by his own character to just pretend we haven't sinned. He's also just. A just God can't say sin doesn't need to be dealt with. So his holiness means he can't accept us in our sin. His justice means he has to punish it. And he punishes sin by punishing those who do it. He's all powerful. There's no getting away from him. He's all knowing. He's going to know where you are. The biggest need we all face is that we have sinned. The Bible actually calls our sin treachery, which is acting like a traitor towards a king. We're all traitors against an almighty king. What in the world do we do to solve that problem? Well, you and I can't solve that problem. And that's why we are so grateful that Christ has met our greatest need. Volunteering. Father, don't kill them for their traitor, for their treachery. Kill me. I know their sin deserves holy anger and rejection. Reject me so you don't have to reject them. Treat me like I did every wicked thing they'll ever do. Punish me for all the gossip they've ever uttered and ever will utter. And then treat them like they said every perfect word I will ever say on earth. Give them credit for every good deed I've ever done that I gave to you as an inheritance for them. That's what an inheritance is, right? Somebody else breaks their back working for an entire lifetime and they give it to some brat who didn't lift a finger and doesn't deserve it, right? Well, there might be a brat and they didn't lift a finger for it, but it's theirs. Legally, that money is theirs. And Christ calls his work for us, earning us an inheritance. The righteousness, the sinless life you need to be accepted by God, we don't have. Our accounts are empty. But all of a sudden, here they are full because Christ did it for us. And you don't get that gift because you qualify with enough good deeds, enough time spent in prayer. Enough. You get it because God comes to you in your need and says, you would never live without this. Open your eyes. Here, it's yours. And you don't retain it by doing enough good things to pay for it. The Holy Spirit guarantees it's yours forever. That solves your greatest need. Your future is secure. No one can take that away from you. When you remember how secure your future is, and that the greatest being in the entire universe doesn't just forgive you, doesn't just tolerate you, he loves and even delights in you as much as he does in Jesus himself. When you remember that's the kind of love you've been shown, putting yourself first doesn't make any sense anymore. And you can look around the room and say, I don't have to worry about me. My future is so secure. I can look around the room and say, who can I benefit? Who can I encourage? You can have that juicy piece of gossip and say, I could put myself first and destroy them. Or I could use this powerful tool and say, no, I want to do what's best for them. And it's not best for them to have everyone hear about the junk they've done. My words need to benefit those who listen, because all my needs are taken care of. And nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know if any of you have fences you need to mend from gossip that you've told that has hurt or ruined other people's lives. Remember what God has said about those who trust in Him for salvation. It's then safe for you to repent. God won't reject you. He can't reject you. He already rejected Christ in your place. Go to those people who you've hurt. Tell them you're sorry. Use your words to build them up. Ask God to show you, who are the people in my life that need encouragement? And then ask Him to give you the words to say. Ask Him to help you find ways to build them up according to what's beneficial for their needs. And that's where Paul goes when he talks about this in Ephesians 4. He says then, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. When you find yourself not wanting to take the time to encourage others, remember what's been done for you. Not so that you roll your eyes and say, oh, I guess I should pay God back. Nice shirt, man. No, the gospel's never supposed to guilt trip you. The gospel is supposed to unclench your fists around your so-called rights, to remind you Jesus gave you something better than anything you could ever claw and grab for yourself. And He did it, He set you free so that you could use your freedom to benefit others. Remember how precious it was when someone took the time to tell you whatever encouraging words that you have valued over the years. And look for ways to be that voice in those God has put in your life. I want to challenge you to also be that voice for whoever you would call your worst enemy. Because it was when we were enemies that Christ died for us. It's one of the greatest ways you can show your gratitude for loving you when you were an enemy, continuing to love you even though you still act like an enemy every time you sin. And yet, when He looks upon you, He's promised to be as delighted as He is in Christ because He covered you with Him. If that's how you've been loved, I just want to encourage you to look for ways to love others like that, especially with your words. Don't use them to put others down. It makes no sense for you to look at God and say, thank you for giving me your son. He died the death I deserve, took all the wrath I deserve for my sin. Now I'm going to respond to that gift, Lord, by doing things you hate. We chuckle, yeah, who'd ever do that? We would. We do it every day. We don't say it, I can't wait to do what you hate, Lord, but that's what we do when we know I shouldn't put this person down. I shouldn't gossip about them, but I'm going to anyway because it's all about me. Remembering what Christ did for you changes it from being all about me to saying, no, Lord, it's all about you. And it's a joy for me to love you when you have loved me like this. So help me use my words like you do for me. You build me up with your words. Every word in the Bible designed to build you up and to benefit you. And you can be that for those God puts in your life to thank Him for the incredible gift of Christ. Thank you guys for listening. I challenge you, act on this, and the Lord will fill you with such joy knowing that you have benefited others the way He benefited you.